السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا، صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the Madrasa, and all those listening over receivers, and later on those who listen over radio stations. It is an ayat of the Quran Sharif which you have heard many, many times. And this much also we know, that it was revealed in the plains of Arafat, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mounted on his camel, the Quswa. And in front of him was a congregation of 124,000 sahabas. Now in that congregation, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was delivering his khutbah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the plain of Arafat, and we know that that is the climax of Hajj. And on no other day does shaitan feel more dejected, rejected, and humiliated and disgraced than on the day of Arafah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's forgiveness and mercy knows no bounds. So people are returning from Hajj, therefore we are reminded of this ayat. But it is not my intention to go into a discussion of this ayat. The ayat says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala completed. He has perfected for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the deen. Just give you an explanation. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have perfected for you your deen and completed upon you my favors. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pleased with Islam as our deen. That is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's choice. Allah ta'ala is happy and pleased with Islam as our deen. So Allah ta'ala says, is happy that your deen should be Islam. In other words, your way of life should be Islam. Deen should be Islam means what? That our way of life, our living, our eating, drinking, earning, spending, traveling, discussing, conducting of business, upbringing of children, our laughter, our cry, our sorrow, our grief, our happiness, everything should be controlled by the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this is where people say that it is difficult. Islam controls every aspect of our lives. Yes, indeed it does. Either the person accepts Islam and accepts it with all the restrictions and conditions, or he doesn't accept and then faces the consequences. But we cannot say that we want to have one leg in Islam and one leg out of Islam. Paabandh-e-muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Paabandh-e-muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Is dard ki ay dil koi miad nahi hai. The person who has said that I love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he cannot be azad, he cannot be free now, have the freedom to do anything and everything, and still he says that I've got love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how long do we have to remain in this love of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen, until death comes. Until then there is no such thing as being azad. Yes, after that in Jannat the person will be azad, he'll be free. Freedom to eat, freedom to drink, freedom to associate with anybody, freedom to move about, freedom of everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give in Jannat. But in this world there has to be these restrictions. halal and haram has to be there. And again, if you have to look at that which is haram, it's just a few things, limited number of things. Allah Ta'ala hasn't made everything haram. Now the person cannot make any kind of move. He cannot progress in his business. He cannot travel out in the land. He cannot have happiness and enjoyment. Allah Ta'ala has only declared a few things haram, which I have mentioned many times, are harmful to the individual himself. Allah Ta'ala is creator of man, so he knows what is good for us and bad for us. So if he is declaring something haram, then there's goodness in it for us. Look at the headache that people are having. Look at the heart breaks that people are having when they face disaster in their lives because of the illicit relationships and all other kind of problems, or their haram indulgences. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to save us from that. Stay away from haram and be happy, be content, be satisfied. There won't be any kind of restlessness. Even if that person is in difficulties, hardships, problems, anything, but if he is not in sins, then he is not going to experience restlessness in his heart. The natural grief, natural sorrow, everybody will experience. But this person who has a connection with Allah Ta'ala and is not in sin, then even if his death comes, he says it will be shahadat. Now look at that person, he's quite happy. He says even if his death comes, then it will be shahadat. So he's not in fear. But the person who is in adultery, now is fearing death. That if death has to come in that state, then what? The person who is committing crime, is stealing, committing fraud, or the person is in any other kind of haram action, is watching something that's haram on the internet, is watching something that's haram on the television screen, and outwardly the person is a pious person, outwardly. He is seen in the masajid, he is seen in ibadat, zikr, tilawat, so now he is going to be restless. He cannot have peace of mind, because if death comes in that state, then what? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us the best of both worlds. So in that ayat, what is being referred to is this, that if Allah Ta'ala has chosen Islam for us as our deen, وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, so then it is the best. We must believe it to be the best. Don't have any kind of doubt on Islam or Islamic teachings. We must have doubt on our own intellect, because our own intellect can be very, very misleading. We can see at present there is so much of discussion that takes place in the parliament, in the cabinets, and in so many other quarters. So many people of brains, they say people of brains, people of intellect, people of great knowledge and great wisdom, they get together and they try to bring about solutions or bring a solution to the problems of the country and of the people. But what is happening is that after that you find nothing but more disaster, more fights, more quarrels, more arguments, more battles, more wars, more destruction. Why? Because it is all man-made. The intellect is not being used according to the Quran and Sunnah. So every person has got his own view. And it is a time in which numbers count. They say numbers count. If you have a large number of people demanding something that is rejected and condemned by any sensible person, even though he may not be a Muslim, but if he is in his true senses, he will have hatred, dislike, he will abhor such kind of actions. Marriage of male to male, marriage of woman to woman. Now is this something sensible? But if a large number of people in a country demand it, and so then they have to amend, they have to change the constitution. And if we have people who are called people of brains and intellect sitting as judges in countries where these things have become permissible and legalized, who are the ones that legalized it? Who are the ones that gave the judgment? It is those judges. But when the judges themselves, many of them, are of that same thinking, and their actions are also the same, despicable actions, even though they have become judges. So then what do you expect? So those who try to move away from deen, I'm talking now about Muslims, that those who look at the trends of society and the demands of people, if they are going to move away from the deen and fulfill those demands which are against the Quran and against the Sunnah, and believe that that is what is going to bring about and create unity in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we are living in a fool's paradise. It will never come. How can it ever come? When Allah Ta'ala himself has declared those things as haram and forbidden, how can it bring unity? So amongst the many, many things that Islam has given us guidance on, one of it is also our wealth. Now as I said, that is not my intention to make a tafsir of that ayat. But if we say that Islam is a perfect deen and religion, then it must give some guidance on wealth also. Now there's so much on it in the books of ahadith. So many ayat of the Quran Sharif discuss wealth. So many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the sayings of the sahabas, the tabi'in, the awliya, the siddiqeen, the mashayikh, you'll find so many things with regards to wealth. But we have not accepted Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's direction or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's direction when it comes to wealth. So even when it comes to our wealth, it is causing tremendous amount of problem. Either our earning is not right or our spending is not right. Sometimes we feel that we are free to earn as we wish, that it is our wish. It is an open market, so we can engage in any kind of business. Halal or haram is of no concern. And sometimes the person will earn halal, but when it comes to expenditure, when it comes to causes where he's going to spend, so then there he is going to be unconcerned. He feels that it's my wealth, I have earned it, so I can spend it. So we will either be negligent in the earning or we'll be negligent in the spending. So in tonight's majlis, let us look at something with regards to wealth. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is reported to have said that ni'mal maalu salih lir rajuli salih. In other words, that if a person has got wealth which has been acquired in a halal way, the wealth has been acquired in a halal way, not in a haram way, the avenues from which he received it were halal, and then that wealth is in the hands of a good person, then it's very good. I'm just explaining that. Then that wealth is a very good thing. That wealth is a very good thing because it's in the hands of a good person and it is good wealth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not condemning wealth per se. Neither has the Quran Sharif condemned wealth. It has condemned dunya. But dunya is not the name of gold, silver, diamonds, pearls, oil wells. I mentioned this many, many times, but it seems that we just can't seem to understand that when there is a condemnation of dunya, then this is what it means, that that wealth which is being acquired in a haram way, or it is being spent in a haram way, or in israf, wastage. Now recently there are so many pamphlets that are flying around, and advertisements that are appearing in newspapers, and that is the reason why I brought up this subject. That we have become very greedy, and especially if the person does not have knowledge, if he is lacking in knowledge, or if he is lacking in good company, or he hasn't had the opportunity of sitting in programs of this nature, or other waaz and nasihats that take place, or going to the jamaat and listening to the programs of deen. If the person hasn't had a good environment, and the only thing that he reads is the newspapers or the magazines or watches the TV programs where people are winning all the time. This person won so much and that person won so much. Millions they are winning. Were won in that lotto and that lotto. And sometimes it's running into millions of dollars in America and other parts of the world. Or billions sometimes. 100 kg of gold was one time won by one person in one competition that was held in Dubai, where they had to pay a certain amount of money to enter that. And then the person won 100 kg of gold. Now you can imagine. Now after paying, so it became haram. But the person is not going to see that it became haram because he had to buy a ticket and enter that competition. So the person is going to look at the 100 kg of gold. And this article appeared in one of the papers in Gulf Times at that, some years ago. So when this person was questioned with regards to this win of his, then what did he say? Alhamdulillah. I am grateful to Allah for having blessed me with this win. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So you can see how the person even sells his iman at that time. And what is he going to do? He's going to use for this, for that, and he's also going to give charities for masjid, madrasa, whatever it is. He's going to give charities. So what I am saying is that we are getting carried away by these type of advertisements. And our saliva also begins to flow. And we truly believe that that person has won. That he has succeeded. Look at the amount of money that he won. Whereas the hatred of that must settle in our hearts. We must think that the person has won nothing but pigs, as I always say. That if a person is told that so and so won 1 million pigs, what would we say about that person? So now we are even getting advertisements where the person is saying that he can predict or he can give you the lotto numbers, winning numbers, and guaranteed. And who it is? It's a Muslim that's advertising. Guaranteed. You will get first prize. You will win the lotto. He's going to give you numbers. He can solve all other problems too with his tawizes, but this is also something that he can do. He can give genuine lotto numbers. And the condition is that you must come with wuzu. That's written there in the pamphlet. That's the condition. Muslims must make wuzu and come. But then you should have included, must make ghusl also. 3 times. And pity he didn't put there in the water of zamzam. Now you will be surprised that Muslims are actually flocking to such kind of people. And they truly believe that they are going to win. But if a person just uses his intellect a little, the grey matter that Allah Ta'ala has given, if it is guaranteed that you will win, you have to pay a certain fee, of course, for his services. So how many people can be guaranteed of winning the first prize? How many stupids can be guaranteed of winning the first prize? If 10,000 people come to him and everyone is guaranteed, so they've paid in whatever fee had to be paid, now can all 10,000 win the first prize? So it doesn't even make sense. But people get carried away with anything that appears, as long as we get money, that's all. The casinos advertise that for this week we have got a luxury car or we've got so many million rands, then finish. The Muslim is unconcerned. He will flock there and try his level best somehow to catch it. But what does it bring at the end of the day? Nothing but misery. Nothing but misery. How many people's lives have been shattered because of these type of wins? So for a Muslim, haram is haram. And that example has helped a lot of people, that when a person wins a lot of money, but it is coming through haram source, then it is like flood waters. Look at all the countries which have been hit by floods. Now in that flood water, the water is plentiful, plentiful of water. But what is in that water? Dead animals, donkeys, mules, cows, ox, pigs, urine, stool, any dirt and filth that that water picks up along the way. The toilets all you cannot flush at that time. Everything is upside down. Now all that is in that flood waters. So the water is plentiful. But if somebody has to drink that water, then he's going to die of bilharzia. He's going to die. So what is required to quench his thirst is a tumbler full of clean, pure, fresh water. If he drinks that, it will quench his thirst. And if he has to drink plentiful of that other water, he's going to die. So the water is plentiful, but it's of no use. In the same way for a Muslim, when there's plentiful of haram that's coming, it is like that flood waters, which has got bilharzia. It's going to bring disaster in that person's life. Yes, for the disbelievers, for those who do not believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the day of Qiyamah, in the Akhirat, then for them that is indeed plentiful, because this dunya is jannat for them. So let us not just look at them all the time and then try to do the same thing, emulate them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us that which is halal. So He hasn't stopped us. This is what we do not understand, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not declared wealth itself as being haram. In fact, it is necessary. In these days, it's necessary. But acquire it in the proper way, in the halal way, then there is no problem at all. Otherwise, it will be like how that poet said, Kana mamluki fa adha maliki fa haza min aajibi zaman. Kana mamluki fa adha maliki fa haza min aajibi zaman. Like a person has got a slave, he says, I had a slave, but then that slave became my master. That slave became my master. What a strange thing has happened, that the one who was supposed to be the slave became my master. In poetry says. So this is what has happened to us, that wealth was supposed to be our slave, our khadim, our servant, the dirt of our hands, something that we earned with our own hands. That is what wealth was supposed to be. So we're supposed to use it in that manner also. It was supposed to be our servant, but we have become the slaves of wealth. We have become the slaves of our businesses. We have become the slaves of gold and silver. We have become the slaves of oil wells. We have become the slaves of our properties, our businesses, our professions, our industries. We have become the slaves. They govern us. We don't govern them. Everything is regulated. Our whole life is regulated by these industries, by these businesses, by these factories, by the wealth and the properties of ours. It's not that we are controlling. We're supposed to be opening the business at our convenience, closing at our convenience, stopping for namaz at the appropriate hours and times, finding time for everything. But we know what is the situation. So the business wasn't condemned, was business condemned? As far as tijarat was concerned, as far as livelihood is concerned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared it as a farz. Kasbul halal farizatun ba'd al fariza. Just as namaz is farz, roza is farz, zakat is farz, to earn livelihood also is farz. After the other farais, it's farz. So something that is declared as farz, how can we say that it is cursed? So the lanat is not on tijarat, it's not on earning of livelihood. But we must not allow that muhabbat of that wealth, because it was supposed to be our servant, our khadim. So we must not allow the muhabbat of that to enter our hearts. Once the muhabbat of wealth enters the hearts, then the greed will know no limits. And in every area that you look, in every direction that you look, there is nothing but greed. And greed has got no limit. A person's stomach says only the sand of the grave will fill that. Only the sand of the grave. لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ زَهَبٍ لَبْتَغَى صَالِثًا لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيَانِ مِنْ زَهَبٍ لَبْتَغَى صَالِثًا. Two valley fulls of gold also if he has, he'll look for the third one. Where's the third one? Nothing else will satisfy this person's greed except the sand of the grave. When he's going to go there, then he will make high, high. Where I wasted my life. And in most cases, the people are sacrificing their hereafter They are sacrificing their hereafter, the akhirat, they are sacrificing. Their jannat they are sacrificing for somebody that is going to use that wealth after them. For the sake of someone else, they are sacrificing their jannat. So who can be more stupid than that person? One is that he sacrificed that jannat, he made a big mistake, and he was the loser, but he used whatever he earned. Like the person earned through haram, and he used it. Then we will say that he sacrificed his jannat, but in his lifetime at least, although it was haram, but he used it. But in most cases what happens is that he is not going to be the user also, because he has got millions, or he's got plentiful, got many homes, he's got big, big properties. So now all the haram that is coming is for whom? It is for those who will be coming after him, his progeny, his children and his great-grandchildren. So for the sake of others, he is ruining and destroying his akhirat. So where is the sense? The person must think that I have to go in the akhirat, I have to face my Allah, I have to answer, I am accountable for my deeds and actions. And everyone that is coming into this world, that person is going to bring his rosy income. We are not the providers of risk and sustenance. Risk and sustenance is not supplied by us. Risk and sustenance is supplied by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the one who provides the risk, and he is the one who provides the sustenance. But sometimes we do not see the person that is giving to us the gift that has been given. We don't see that person. Like from here I want to send a gift to somebody that is in England or in Pakistan or India or any part of the world. So I take one watch, or I take $100, or I take 1,000 rands or anything as a gift, and I hand it over to Mr. somebody, and I say, now you are going to England, or you're going to America, or you're going to India, Pakistan. So I want you to give this gift to so and so from my side. Now what will happen is that that person will deliver that gift. The person who took that gift, he is going to deliver that gift to that person there. So the person who will receive, he is seeing the face of that person who is delivering. He is seeing the face of that person who is delivering, but he is not the one who is giving that gift. Now if this person has to say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, and starts kissing his feet and his forehead, and he says, what a wonderful person you are, you gave me this gift. So we'll say he's stupid. He must thank the person that sent that gift, although he's not seeing him in front of him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who is providing. Allah ta'ala is the one who is providing, but we cannot see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he is providing for us through somebody. Now we see that person. We see that business house from which we are earning. We see all the other avenues from which our earnings are coming. But we are not seeing Allah. But he is the one who is sending it through that source. So why should there be then greed? And why should there be jealousy? He is going to steal my risk, and he is going to steal my risk. How can he steal your risk? Risk and livelihood is muqaddar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fixed it. The marketplace is open. Never be jealous of the other person's earnings. And many times I have given that example, that give two people, and that's why the repeat of these examples sometimes helps. That give two people of equal intelligence, equal amount of wealth, give them equal amount of stock, and give them prime properties opposite each other in the same street, very busy street. And then at the end of the month, go and check. One person has done flourishing business, and the other person, he says, he was killing flies. All the swats got sold out, but still the flies didn't die. So who is it that sends the customers? It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who sends that customer. Now we are seeing that customer, but we are not seeing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is sending him. And that is why we are fighting and we are arguing. And we are creating hasad and jealousy. So greed has got no limit. Greed has got no limit. It is worse than a wolf that has been released amongst a herd of goats. The destruction that wolf will cause. it won't cause that much as greed causes to a person. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He wants us to earn halal and He wants us to use it. Hazrat Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullah Alayh, great faqih, jurist and great alim. Now this is what he has to say, this is what I was looking for. Hazrat Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullah Alayh addressing the ulama of his time. Now those days, now he's addressing the ulama. And he's telling them about wealth. He says, Kana al-malu fima madha yukrah. فَأَمَّا الْيَوْمْ فَهُوَ تُرْسُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَقَالْ لَوْ لَا هَذِهِ الدَّنَانِيرِ لَتَمَنْدَلَ بِنَا هَا أُولَاءِ الْمُلُوكِ وَقَالْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي يَدِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ شَيْءٌ فَلْيُسْلِحْ فَإِنَّهُ زَمَانٌ إِنْ إِحْتَاجَ كَانَ أَوَّلُ مَا يَبْزُرُ دِينَهُ وَقَالْ الْحَلَالُ لَا يَحْتَمِلُ السَّرَفْ. Now there are a few things that you mentioned in this. First thing he says, okay, there was a time in which it was declared that it is not good to have too much of wealth. It is not good to have wealth. People were told that they must give away as much as they can and lead a very simple life and have nothing with them or have very little with them. Just the bare necessities. There was a time like that. But he says at present wealth, now he's talking about his time, he says, but at present wealth is like a shield. It is a shield with which you protect your iman. Wealth is a shield to protect your iman. Because the people of the past, they had a lot of taqwa, they had a lot of contentment, they had a lot of satisfaction. So therefore, there was no danger of their iman being affected if they did not have wealth. In fact, in poverty, they were very happy. In poverty, they were very happy. One buzrug, one Allah wala, said when there was days of starvation or hunger, no food in the house, then even his children used to say, today is Eid. They used to be so happy. Now, can our children live like that today? So he says that there were days like that, but now it has become a shield for the mu'min and for the Muslim. Because the first thing that will be affected if poverty comes in that home, if that person is faced with poverty or starvation or hunger, the first thing that he will sacrifice will be his deen. And there is no shortage of evidence for this fact. Go to those places which have been hit by disasters, struck by disasters, where there's earthquakes, or where there have been tsunamis, or where there have been so many of other kind of calamities. What is it that attracted this large number of Muslims from such disaster areas towards Christianity? It was that same promise of wealth. When they came there, they said, we'll take your children, we'll give them proper care, education, nursing, food, shelter, and even for you. So many people, just for those hampers, they accepted Christianity. So the first thing that the person will sacrifice will be his deen, because we don't have that kind of tawakkul, we don't have that kind of yaqeen, we don't have that kind of trust in Allah Ta'ala, we don't have that kind of iman, and we don't have that kind of taqwa. So we will get carried away. We will say that no, but we don't have that kind of weakness that we are going to sell our iman. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that kind of weakness. But then look at our lifestyles. Go to the casinos and see how many Muslims you find there. Not only men, even women. How many of them? They are flocking to those casinos. How many Muslims are buying lotto tickets? So isn't that also the same thing? And then this person who is advertising, the person who is advertising that he can give lotto numbers, he must come with wuzu, and he must come with so much of money. And so when he was contacted by one friend who pretended that he wants to also win some kind of lottery, so He said, but afterwards he told him, but aren't you a Muslim? Why are you doing a thing like this? You know it's haram, and yet you advertise, and you say that must make wuzu and come, and you take the name of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, lots of Muslims are unemployed at present. Lots of Muslims are unemployed. And many Muslims are in financial difficulties. So I'm trying to assist and help them. Exactly that which that brother said, that I am giving interest at a lower rate than the bank gives. So how can Allah Ta'ala be displeased with me? That Muslim to whom I am giving loan on interest, but I am giving at 10%, whereas if he has to go to the bank, he will be charged 22% or 18%. So I am doing him a great favor. So how can that be displeasing to Allah Ta'ala when I am doing a favor to a Muslim brother? That is what I mean by selling of iman. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. The hearts are becoming bright, burning over the fire, like how you have meat bright over the fire. Like that, the hearts of the people of heart. The hearts of the people of heart, Ahle Dil. It is becoming bright. That what kind of revolution has taken place? What kind of change has come in the society? What a beautiful society Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had formed. Take each and every companion that was in the plains of Arafat, and this was the lesson that we were supposed to be taking from that plains of Arafat. Each and every one that was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their iman, their yaqeen, their trust, their salat, their zakat, their charities, their dealings, their relationship with the family members, with parents, with friends, with customers, with clients, their business, the politics, everything. Nobody could point a finger. That kind of iman they had. And slowly, slowly over the years, as years went by, what kind of transformation has taken place? What kind of change has taken place? What kind of revolution has taken place? That now we say that this sawab, after a couple hundred years, at least the person used to think of interest taking, gambling and other things as haram. Even if some people indulged in it, but they used to consider it as haram. And now he says that what a change has come about, that forget about it being haram. We say now it is sawab. Very, very rewarding. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes very pleased if you indulge in this type of sins. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. In the taking of interest, giving of interest is a big joke. At least taking of interest, sometimes the Muslim says, well, interest taking is haram, and that to very limited number, small percentage. Otherwise, if the banks are giving interest, then even that we say now is legal. But the fact is that giving of interest was equally haram. Look at our transactions. Just to increase our property, that's all. Now, isn't that greed that the person has got the property? Now, just to increase the property, because there's one on the market and it's going at the right price, and within a year or within 6 months I can sell it at another 100% profit. So now the person wants to buy it. And then another one. And then somebody said that no, we must make use of the bank's money. We must make use of the bank's money and increase our fortunes. And someday, if there is any problem, so then you must leave the country and run. Finish. What you must. You've made the money, transfer it overseas and over. Liquidate. So it will not bring any kind of happiness in our lives. So kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. I mentioned this, that there was on the list of people who had made applications to the Lotto Fund, that fund that was formed, or that certain amount that was supposed to go to charities. Then so many Muslim organizations, they went bowl in hand. They don't forget us. We are also doing this work and that work. We are doing so much of service to our deen and religion. So we also deserve some money from that. So now can that Muslim ever then speak out against lotto or against gambling or against this type of haram? How can he speak out when he himself is saying, give me some charity from there? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is our condition. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us hidayat. So the first thing that Hazrat Sufyan Suri Ramatullah alayhi said, that in those days that was the iman and the yaqeen and the trust and the tawakkul was very, very strong. So at that time, even if they had nothing in their pockets, but they had contentment in their hearts. Because that is where the ghina is. The richness is in the heart. Not in the pockets or in the bank balances. That is not richness. That the person can have plentiful there, but still he can be very poor at heart. Or he can be still so greedy that there's no contentment. So the ghina is in the heart. So if the person did not have wealth in those days, it was not a problem because they had ghina in their hearts. But now that we do not have that kind of ghina, that we do not have that kind of richness in our hearts, therefore he says it's good that you must have some kind of money. And then he says that if this dirham and the nanir were not with us, if the gold and silver, or if the rand and cents, or if the dollars and pounds were not with us, he says, now in our times if we have to talk about these type of currencies, then he says the rich would have used us like handkerchiefs. That is what they would have done. And that is what is happening, that when the alim of deen, especially the alim of deen, when he doesn't have istighna in his heart, therefore as a Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion when he saw the weakness of some ulama who were extending their hands towards the rich for assistance all the time, or writing letters to them, asking them for some kind of assistance, although it was not really required. So he said, Ya Allah, in ulama ko ya to maal de de, ya istighna de de. So, oh Allah, either give them plentiful of wealth or give them that contentment at heart. But give it to them, because he says we cannot see this kind of destruction. Because if the alim has to slip, then the whole universe will slip. And unfortunately now, this is what we are seeing. That there is no such thing as scruples anymore. How hurtful it is, how sad it is when we have to hear that due to corruption some ulamas are arrested or many other kinds of things. So, but we must understand that looking at those few ulama, then we mustn't come to conclusion that all ulama are like that. You get the bad doctors, the bad lawyers, the bad teachers. How many teachers are committing different kinds of offenses? Sexual offenses. How many in England, America, South Africa, how many of them have been arrested? So now will we say, don't send your children to school anymore because all teachers are like that? In the same way, there are so many doctors who are guilty of so many kinds of offenses. How many doctors? Their names are on that list. How many lawyers? How many lawyers have committed major crimes? So you get the bad lawyers, bad doctors, bad teachers. So if you get some ulama also, then it is not the fault of that ilm. That ilm will never allow them to lower themselves or stoop to that level. Never. If that person is an alim in the true sense of the word, then the richness of the kings of the world mean nothing to him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he provides, he makes shukr. And because we are told that مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that if Allah Ta'ala uses somebody to give you something, or any favor has been shown by anybody upon to someone, then it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala himself, or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you must make shukr, you must thank that person, make dua for that person. Allah Ta'ala reward you, Allah Ta'ala bless you, to show kindness. There's nothing wrong with that. That is the duty of the Muslim who receives the gift or receive some favor. But in no way will this alim sacrifice his deen or compromise his deen or thereafter give fatwas in favor of such kind of rich people who may be taking interest and gambling or indulging in other kind of vices. But just because of those gifts and favors, now the person just gives any kind of fatwa. Or he himself gets caught up in that same kind of racketeering. So the person's ilm is not the problem, but it is the environment in which the person sometimes is living that he gets caught up. So this is another weakness of ours, that some alim did something that is wrong, then immediately all the ulama are like that. So if all the ulama are going to be like that, who are we going to learn deen from? How are we going to learn our deen then? So just as we investigate, we check, we in every other thing, so before we give our hand into anyone's hand, or before we have trust on anyone, even though the person may be a hafiz, qari, alim, haji, or in the jamaat, or in any kind of dini activity, or he goes to the khanqa, but don't just trust because you have seen the person in namaz or seen the person in some dini activity. Make your normal investigations. So this is a very sad reality of our times. And that is why there seems to be no noor and no barkat in anything. So he says that if the alim will not have wealth to some extent, then people will use him as a handkerchief. They will dictate, they will dominate, they will make him give fatwas that will suit them. Or that alim will then become greedy. And then he's going to stoop to levels that are unbelievable. So because of the weakness of iman, and the third thing that he has said, that if a person has got wealth, then don't spend it in wastage. Don't waste wealth. Don't make israf. Anything that you buy, it must have some kind of worldly benefit or ukhrawi benefit, benefit of the hereafter. How many things in which we spend our wealth, it's got absolutely no benefit of this world or the akhirat. Look at the hundreds of thousands of rands which are wasted in weddings and in walimas, in the decoration of the halls, and in the hiring of those halls, and in all kinds of israf. Now that is what Hazrat Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Alayh says. He says that halal wealth, it cannot tolerate wastage. If the wealth is halal, it will not go in such causes. Therefore, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali also said that, I look at your expenditure. I look at your spending. I look at your spending. Where do you spend? When I see your spending, from that I gauge whether your wealth was halal or haram. If your wealth is going in israf, in wastage, in haram places, or where it brings no benefit, worldly or that of akhirat, then he says, I gauge that this wealth hasn't come in a halal way. Somewhere along the line, it wasn't halal. Check it out, he says. And you will find that that is true. Somehow along the line, it wasn't halal. So he says, don't waste it because you do not know how conditions can change. One day the person can be very rich, and the next day the person can be a refugee. Things can change. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. So a person must never be proud, mustn't be arrogant, mustn't be boastful. And he mustn't spend in wrong places and wrong causes. Yes, where it is necessary or where it is going to bring some kind of benefit. Like for example, we always say that in these days, buy for the children that which will keep them occupied, but that which is halal. And if the child, for example, is playing with a toy, which you know is not going to be of benefit, is going to be harmful, or Sharia declares that kind of game or play as haram, then buy something else, even though you may have to spend more. Now that kind of extra expenditure will not be considered as israf. In the same way, if the person is buying something which makes him happy, but is not for show off. The person bought a good car because he wants to travel comfortably, but it is not for show off business, not for just showing that I've got a better car than yours, or just because my neighbor bought one, so I must buy the same kind, or buy a better one, or the, he invited 500 people, so I must invite 1,000 people, or his daughter's marriage, so she came on a horse. Sometimes the bride came on a horse, or came in a helicopter. So that's why now I must hire a jet. Then you rather hire a hearse, it's better. That would be better. So Sharia doesn't say that you mustn't eat well, don't drink well, and don't wear well, nothing. But israf is something that it doesn't tolerate. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like israf and wastage. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are going to make shukr, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give increase. But if you are going to make kufr, don't show appreciation and gratitude, then the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is also shadeed, very, very severe. And throughout history you can see empires disappeared from the surface of the earth, great empires, when pomp and show and merrymaking and singing and dancing and all kinds of entertainment became the rule of the day. And they forgot the giver of those ni'mat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then just one revolution and everything gone. Until recently we have seen that happening. So if Allah ta'ala has given a person wealth, then he says that put it into some kind of business. Now imagine they're telling us that put it into business. Let it generate more wealth. That is better than using it in places which will bring no benefit. It will be nothing but loss. What will the person get if he hired a massive hall, decorated it, spent 1 million rand, 2 million rands? At the end of it, what did he get? How many people really praise that person? That he did a wonderful thing. How many people will really praise? Go and ask each and every individual who was invited to that wedding that what was their genuine feeling about that whole program or the expenses that were incurred. From the bottom of his heart, if he has to say the truth, then the majority of them will say that this man, he wasted his good money and time. What did he gain just spending so much here? He could have done so much of good with it. So now there again, it doesn't say that you mustn't feed in wadima or you mustn't invite. It doesn't say that. But what we are saying is that don't make israf. Don't let there be wastage. Within the parameters of Sharia, if the person operates, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give barakat. So we conclude today's majlis with this very important message of Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he gives wealth, then make qadr of it, appreciate it, use it correctly, make shukr over the ni'mat. Don't use it in wrong places, haram places. And the most important thing is that we should not be greedy. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When the time is right, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give that person whatever has been destined for him. It will come. If you have to ask any person who became rich, that where did it all start? Then he says, well, look, first I was delivering some newspapers. After that I became a postman. And thereafter I found a job. I became a postmaster. And from postmaster, then after so many years, then they elected me and I became a minister. And then I made so much and I built up so much of fortune. So now tell everybody, start selling a few newspapers and then become a postman and then become postmaster and then become minister and then see if we can do it. Can everybody go in that same line and make that fortune? Call all the rich people and tell them to give you a story that how did they become rich. And then tell everybody else that now you also do the same thing and see if we can do it. So it's muqaddar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got a system. So we should not look at the wealth of others and then become jealous and envious. Whosoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed, make dua, Allah ta'ala make him use it correctly. And we ourselves, we must make use of our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our intelligence, go to the marketplace, and then whatever we get in a halal way, then make shukr over it. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the ummah qanaat, contentment, satisfaction. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah. We have distanced ourselves from Deen, from Sharia, from Quran, from Sunnah. Therefore our lives have become restless. Full of anxieties, worries, problems, arguments, fights, quarrels, disputes. Our homes have become Jahannam on earth. My beloved Allah, we acknowledge our mistakes, we acknowledge our weaknesses, we acknowledge our shortcomings. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of this earth. My beloved Allah, indeed we have made use of your very ni'mats and bounties for your disobedience. Our hearts have become filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with evil passions and desires. My beloved Allah, but who is there for us besides you? There is no one for us besides you. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Mere Allah, hamare dilo ka hal badal de. Change the condition of our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Change the condition of our hearts. By Allah, you have given man the science of transplant of hearts. Transplant a healthy spiritual heart into our bodies. Fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are in financial difficulties, give them plenty full of halal risk and remove the difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them wealth. Those who are in depression, give them happiness. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have made hajj, make their hajj maqbool, mabroor. Accept all the tawaf, ibadat, ziyarat, mina, arafat, muzdalifa, wukuf, ya Allah. Accept all the ibadat that they made in those mubarak lands. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Protect the haramain sharifain. Protect masjid al-aqsa, our madaris, masajid, khanqas, the work of tabligh and dawat. Har deeni kaam ko qubool farma. Tamam kaam karne walo ko ikhlas ki taufeeq se mala mal farma. Ya Allah, Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made so much of duas for us. How much sacrifices he made for us. Don't cause him any embarrassment on the day of Qiyamah because of our shortcomings, sins and weaknesses. When the angel of death visits us, Ya Allah, don't let us be in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, or any kind of haram activity. Take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Burial in Jannatul Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. The ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.